is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Michael Vlahos. I'm Gaius. He is Germanicus. We're Roman citizens, very secure, in Londinium in 91 AD at the end of summer. We can see 2,000 years ahead and are quite calm about the fate of Roman Britain. We will be forgotten. However, that gives us an advantage not to have to cover our tracks. The history of the Anglo-Saxons will do it for us. In the meantime, 2,000 years from now, the inheritors of the Roman foundations, the institutions, especially the politics, are involved in a war that is coming to the third year and is demonstrating escalatory logic. Germanicus, just a few instances from the last week. There was another drone attack in Pskov. That's opposite the Baltics, way in the north, very far from Ukraine. There was an attack on the Ukraine side of the Danube, and shrapnel from the drone attack landed in Romania, goes the allegation. There was conversation between Moscow and Pyongyang about ammunition, missiles, supply, and proposing a meeting between Vladimir Putin and the dictator Kim in Vladivostok. There was talk, just talk, of Poland requesting nuclear weapons, tactical nuclear weapons, to be deployed in Poland to match what we're told are tactical nuclear weapons deployed by Russia in Belarus. That's enough. What we're looking at is escalation here and there, off the battlefield. Something like what happened in 1915 when the Western Front was immediately frozen with trench digging. So a young man named Churchill had a better idea called Gallipoli. Escalation. And escalation has its own logic. You can't turn it off until one side or the other loses. Do you measure this escalation could continue until NATO is at the front line? Can we stumble into a bold confrontation between Moscow and Washington that ignores Brussels?
Well, we certainly could, but let me put it this way. If Washington's creation and prosecution of this war and its strategy has been disastrous, if not calamitous, then its pathway to extrication is looking to be adroit and may shape up as impeccable. Getting in, we crash and burn. But getting out, we can do that with some measure of finesse. And I think you can see that in the way that Washington is orchestrating escalation. Now, first of all, Ukrainian escalation is a given. They're desperate to engage NATO directly in this war. But every effort of theirs falls flat. And it is now falling flat, even in the sense that it can be used. That is to say, stunts, boat raids on the Crimea, the attack on Pskov, all of those are stunts that no longer work to divert the world's attention from the disasters of the counteroffensive. But they're desperate, and so we know what they're doing. But with the United States, the Washington Imperial Court, the escalation situation is understood from, I think, a comfortable ensconcement in the sense that the evidence of the last 2 years has made Washington confident that their measured escalation, introducing a new wonder weapon or Wunderwaffe every few months, as though this would make a difference in the war, can be undertaken with little worry attached, because they have observed, the courtiers in the imperial palace, they have observed that Russia it will not rise to the bait, and as long as they don't get too flagrant about it. So they've managed to go from one more flamboyant weapon system to the next with little risk of a Russian response that would lead to an escalation ladder and the Third World War. And so what they're doing now, I think, with ATACMS, for example, is to continue to maintain the impression that their support for Ukraine is unbreakable and it will be there for as long as it takes, in the words of the American president, knowing that the ATACMS can either be shut down or is no longer the extremely potent system that it was, say, when it was introduced decades ago. And in other words, it's buying time for Washington to reshape the narrative of a coming extrication. So in the next few months, we can always say, oh, we did everything we could for Ukraine. We offered them F-16s, M1, A1 tanks, the best in the world. And we've offered them ATACMS, the ultimate long-range ballistic strike weapon, non-nuclear ballistic strike weapon. Well, all that is the kind of smoke and mirrors that can cover the administration while it begins to chip away at its own edifice of Ukrainian victory.
So you see escalation as a prelude to withdrawal.
Yes, because it's a cover. It's a kind of non-falsifiable fig leaf, and it gives Washington time so that it can build the narratives that are now subterranean because they rely on, as I said a moment ago, on coded language, but they're still sending a message. And Washington right now is extremely worried about what's happening in Europe. And so with Ukraine beginning to come apart, it's going to be essential for Washington to have an extrication narrative that will allow it to keep its hold on NATO vassal states.
Does Ukraine know this?
I think Ukraine got the message in a very personal way when Mr. Zelensky went to the last NATO summit and was publicly snubbed with that fantastic in the sense that it was highly revealing only. That highly revealing photograph of him glowering into the camera eye while everyone else there had their back turned to him. And so I think, yes, Ukraine knows very well that it has only limited time. It has very few remaining options to trigger a true escalation in which NATO and Russia will go head to head. And at some point, there's going to be a resignation. And I think in some ways, this is a kind of last stand of the Ukrainian army, a kind of sacrificial cavalry charge, of which there were several, the most famous being in the Franco-Prussian War. It's a suicidal cavalry charge meant to turn the tide of battle by laying down your own unit. And in this sense, I think there is a tremendous, a tragic quality to what is happening right now in Ukraine, because it is slowly being rolled under the bus, and yet that won't happen immediately. And there are almost no ways that Ukraine can turn this around. And yes, I do think they know exactly what's
happening.
And
North Korea coming in. And coming into the mix here, because Iran is already participating, we're told, with drones and perhaps missile technology as well.
But, well, Yeah, this is firming up Russia's Eurasian coalition, which is a nice counterweight to China. Now, you recall, of course, after the Sino-Soviet split, North Korea was very important to the Soviet Union as a close by ally in Eurasia, and they share a very short but critical border with each other. And right now, the DPRK is providing an essential stopgap supply of ammunition while the Russian artillery manufacturing ramps up, and it is ramping up. And so North Korea is crucial in that regard. The Iranians were practically decisive in their assistance to Russia with their drone manufacturing. And in return, of course, Russia is re-equipping the Iranian Air Force and will be able to bulk up and burnish North Korea's military capability. And all of this will tie those countries closer to Russia, which makes Russia a more formidable ally, if I can use that term, with their new partner, China. In other words, they will help to shore up respect on the part of China. And the value of the war in a compartment that I haven't, I think, mentioned yet, is that Russian equipment is being showed off to tremendous advantage in this conflict. The new vehicles that they are producing, especially the air defense systems that have performed terrifically, and their capacity to turn the tide of the battlefield, to change the entire battlefield milieu with different kinds of drones, has been stunning. So it is a very interesting reversal already. If NATO went into this war with the U.S. military-industrial complex hoping to use Ukraine for its own marketing, has now been flipped, and Russia is in the position of reestablishing, while the war is still going on, but certainly afterwards, a more dominant position in terms of foreign military sales. And this is just one dimension of the disaster that the U.S. has built for itself in this war.
Germanicus and I are going on to the theater. The prospect of this war in a third winter has discouraged me from being too excited about Greek drama. There's another Greek theater company in town. They alternate between Aeschylus and Euripides and Sophocles. I'm never quite sure why they show off the same themes all the time. Athens is at risk. Who can lighten the load of Athens? Always. Germanicus, just your thoughts. This is 2,500 years after Greek theater. Why does it make me despair? What in Greek theater? They try to be comic, and yet I sigh a lot. Heretofore, I've regarded my reaction as unnecessary, but I do puzzle. I feel like I'm being preached to. How else can I regard this play tonight, no matter what they do?
The pervasive tropes, which are now almost memes, of fate and hubris are so incredibly powerful. And they speak directly to the situation of the U.S. and Ukraine. And the fact that central characters, heroes, have all the character that society and the gods ask of them. They make all the decisions that need to be made, and yet in the context of fate, they are the decisions that ultimately end in their destruction.
Right.
At least with, say, the Odyssey or the Iliad as well, you have a tremendous dynamic of hubris at work. But I think in Antigone with Cleon, you have an upright man, shall we say, to use the the Burkina Faso phrase. He does everything that society tells him he must. And this is, of course, the tragedy of the U.S. and the fate that may await us in future, in that our sacred narrative, the redemption of humankind and the ushering in of an eventual millennium has failed again and again since World War II, after apparent success, and has failed even in the wake of success in the Soviet over the Soviet Union. And it's failed because of hubris to some degree, but also to the fact that our sacred narrative demands certain things of us, and we cannot break free of that. And I think that helps explain the remorseless impetus of the U.S. after the fall of the Soviet Union to keep expanding NATO and to seek fall and then democratic redemption of Russia as the necessary goal of America to continue its work.
You haven't cheered me up, Germanicus.
No, but I mean, I think this is part of the problem, that and no beautiful insight by George Kennan or even the like of Mr. Mearsheimer can create a recognition on the part of American rulers that they are in fact engaged in the pursuit of their own fate, just as Cleon was.
And therefore, I'm even more satisfied with being a Roman citizen, where there's only one answer to the might of Rome, which is to surrender. Germanicus is Makovleos. I am Gaius John Batts. We're off to sacrifice to the god Augustus, of course, and continue our conversation another day. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Experience the freedom of finding the one at Haverty's. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate this summer at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.